This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome into Prop Points here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson here with you. Got a fun show coming your way for the next hour. Give you a recap on game one of the Stanley Cup Finals last night. Oilers pulling off an OT win, a thriller to start that series. We'll let you know what's going on around Major League Baseball. Big slate on this Thursday, a heavy day game slate. So we'll give you some in-game updates. We'll talk a little bit about the games coming up over the next couple of hours. Play a game of play it or pass it, NBA Finals style, taking a look at some props for game one tonight. And we'll go deeper on game one with our guy, Alex Berutha, making his weekly stop to the show. We'll get all of his best bets for the series and for game one. And of course, Jeff's favorite home run props of the day. Jeff, I actually watched a hockey game last night. I'm not going to lie. This is what happens when we don't have NBA on the TV. I caught most of game one between the Oilers and the Panthers last night. Obviously went late into the night, especially for those on the East Coast. But Oilers win in overtime. They take a 1-0 series lead. Draisaitl comes up big with the OT winner. McDavid with the assist on that winner. The over 6.5 cashed. And looking at the updated series line, Jeff, our guy AJ Scholes was telling us yesterday, he thinks this is a 6 or 7 game series. Oilers now -210 to win the series outright at DraftKings. You could still jump on the Panthers at +180.
Yeah, and this has got a sting for the Panthers. They had the lead early on this one here. Oilers come storming back. Yeah, they get the OT winner. You know, you can't afford to give up a power play in overtime to the Oilers. Just something you can't do. Draisaitl redeems himself after not having a good Stanley Cup final last year. Gets the game winner here. You know, it just builds. And the Oilers, they're building off of what they did in the Western Conference Finals against Dallas. Even before that, against Vegas, against the Stars in the second round of the playoffs there, where their defense stepped it up. You know, we can say, you know, Stuart Skinner's playing better between the pipes, but I think the other thing, too, is that the quality of shots that Skinner is having to face aren't as strong. And so I think that was pretty big. I think, you know, Florida's going to have to ask, did they kind of take their foot off the gas when they had the lead? That was their chance to steal a road win. That's why you can see the series odds shifting so much there. That was the theory of the case when we had AJ Schultz on yesterday, is they get that first game, they go back and, you know, they protect home ice. They win in six. Now, it's going to be a much taller task for them there.
Yeah. Game two coming our way tomorrow night from Edmonton. Oilers -130 on the money line, +190 on that 1.5 puck line. Panthers +110 to take game two. Same total sitting at 6.5. It's juiced a bit to the under -125. Got a couple Major League Baseball games in action right now. We're in the top of the second. Royals with a 1-0 lead over the St. Louis Cardinals. This is the makeup game from yesterday. Got rained out. So we have a doubleheader. Noah Cameron on the mound for the early game. He was going to start yesterday night, going up against Miles Michaelis. Jonathan India responsible for the lone run on the board, a leadoff homer for him to begin this one. Again, we're in the top of the second there, two outs for Kansas City. A lot of scoring going on, Jeff, in the Diamondbacks and the Braves. Top of the sixth, Braves have opened up a 7-3 lead. They got 8 hits, 7 runs on those 8 hits. Saw Brandon Pfaadt, who has had his ups and downs, a lot of downs, Jeff, get knocked around a bit. Only lasted 3 innings, gave up 5 earned runs. 2 strikeouts, 2 walks for him. So Pfaadt still searching for answers. Arizona still searching for answers. And this Atlanta Braves team, Jeff, they desperately need a win today.
They do. As you pointed out on our SiriusXM Fantasy show, you know, I've been like a dog to a bone tracking the Braves playoff odds. +195 to miss the playoffs now. That's as low as they've been so far, and that's the start of this game. I'm sure those odds will change a little bit in their favor if they hang on here. But Pfaadt, at least, you know, in his last start, Pfaadt didn't get anybody out. At least he got through 3 innings today, but still really rough roll there. Disappointingly for the Braves, Grant Holmes was staked to a 6-0 lead, and gives up 3 runs, and then the first 5 runners get on in the fourth inning. Couldn't get out of the fourth inning on that one there. So tough outing for Grant Holmes as well. And he continues to face a number of tough opponents, but still, no excuses. He walked the first 2 batters to start that inning, allowed Arizona kind of get back into that a little bit there. Riley just hit a homer. He's up to 11 on the season now, so good out of him. up to 449 slug on the season there. You know, he's coming around. The Braves need these bats to get going. This is what we've been talking about before, that their bats have been, you know, very disappointing so far this season. So getting that going, taking advantage of the positive matchup against Fott, at least this is a step in the right direction for the Braves.
Yeah, as you alluded to, Braves plus 195 to make the playoffs, minus 235 right now at the DraftKings Sportsbook to miss the playoffs in
the National
League.
Thank you for correcting me there, yeah.
We got a couple more games starting up. Tigers, White Sox, that's coming our way in about 5 minutes. Casey Mize taking on Sean Burke. Phillies and the Blue Jays, that's Jesus Luzardo and Chris Bassitt. That one starts up in about an hour. I want to touch on Twins A's, Jeff, and this is not that intriguing of a game. Minnesota's minus 200 on the money line, but we will see David Festa tonight stepping in for Pablo Lopez. Big, big injury in the fantasy baseball world.
Yes, absolutely. Pablo Lopez diagnosed with a grade 2 major tears strain in his pitching shoulder. I hate these shoulder injuries. Usually a return time is 8 to 12 weeks for such an injury and can often be longer because you don't really know, you know, what he's going to be like when in recovery, whether there's going to be any setbacks. Awful injury there. And Festa at least is a pretty decent fill-in as far as like prospects go. Festa's issues are not going deep into the game. So something to watch for tonight. If you're looking to see if maybe that Twins bullpen gets taxed a little bit there. That game, I should say, this afternoon starts at 3:35 Eastern time. Twins minus 192 favorites. 10 over under 10 on this one here, Nick. Part of that is because the A's are just on an epically bad pitching run right now.
Are you still using your buddy's gut instinct as your betting strategy? Come on. You deserve better. RotoWire has the real tools the pros use, rankings, projections, updates, and data that doesn't sleep. Whether you're making picks, setting your fantasy lineup, or placing bets, our award-winning insights give you the edge you need. Get started today by heading over to rotowire.com and entering ROTO15, ROTO15. Put in ROTO15 at checkout. You'll get 15% off any of our RotoWire subscription products. Yeah, Jeff, you mentioned the A's. My goodness, man. I mean, this was a team that was, what, 20-16 a month ago, and they have now won three of their last 27 games. And you know, some of the big names, like the guys we were drafting in the top 100 in fantasy, they've come through for the most part, but the pitching for the A's has just been atrocious. They are dead last now in team ERA.
Absolutely. And I think they've gone through a 3-24 stretch. Just awful, awful run. And tough opponents on that, but still, I know we were talking at one point, are they playoff worthy? And now we're not really worried about that one anymore there. Still fun hitters to watch. Want to see Nick Kurtz get healthy, get him back into the lineup, see what happens when that occurs. But, you know, he can't pitch. So that's not, he can't really help him as far as that goes.
Minus 10,000, by the way, is the number for the Athletics to miss the playoffs right now at DraftKings. Not sure I'll be jumping on the yes there at 22-1. We got some interesting news out of the NFL earlier this morning, Jeff. And you know us, we're always keeping an eye on the fantasy football world. It's a big draft over at RotoWire HQ this week. Some news from Indianapolis. Anthony Richardson will not participate in minicamp next week, dealing with an aggravation of that AC joint in his right shoulder. This is the same one that cut his rookie season short after four games, ended up having surgery. Of course, he's battled some other injuries over the last year or so. But for a guy who feels like he has to win back his starting spot, he's battling Daniel Jones for that designation. This is the last thing you need, right? I think Anthony Richardson needs every advantage he can get. And all along, I've kind of felt like Daniel Jones was going to be the guy at least to start the season for the Colts. I would be very surprised if we don't see both at some point this season. I think it's going to be kind of a mess, but not great news for Anthony Richardson. We'll see how long this ultimately ends up sidelining him.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is, like, he may not have won the job over Daniel Jones. In fact, I think Jones may have began the year as a starter. Although if you're the Colts and you invested such draft capital on Anthony Richardson, don't you owe it to yourself to give you one more shot to see if it's worth it before we moving on? I don't know. I think you would, but this obviously changes things. You know, especially if it lingers into like training camp, things of that nature, certainly gives Daniel Jones the heads up to be the starter in week one. That's for sure.
When you're looking at Michael Pittman, Josh Downs, Alec Pierce, even if you want to bring, you know, someone like Jonathan Taylor into this out of the backfield, does it matter to you? Like, is Daniel Jones slightly better? Does he give those guys a better floor week to week if we're talking fantasy?
No, I mean, Malik Nabers was okay under Daniel Jones, though. I think he might have been better with Drew Lock last year. And certainly, you know, Pittman doesn't rise to that level. You know, Dobbs doesn't rise to that level. You're seeing it in the draft prices. You're going around pick 100 in the NFBC. Pittman actually going a little bit later, which I think is interesting there too. So I would probably not change my Taylor rankings at all, just because both quarterbacks are mobile. You would think mobile quarterbacks help the running game a little bit there. So I'm not really worried too much about that. In fact, I see Jones as less of a sneak threat than Richardson. So maybe that helps Taylor around the goal line.
Looking at that Colts win total right now at the DraftKings Sportsbook, sitting at 7.5. And of course, you can basically set your own number if you want. The odds are going to adjust accordingly. But -110 both ways on 7.5. That's a total stay away for me, Jeff. Some winnable games early in the season for the Colts. They open up at home against Miami. You get Tennessee twice, including in week 3. You get the Raiders at home. You get the Cardinals at home. I could see this being a 7 or 8 win team, but there's just not much of a ceiling to me with Indy.
And there's so much uncertainty too, so much volatility. You don't know who the quarterback's going to be. You got a brand new defensive coordinator. You've got a coach that's on the hot seat, and you're going to have a new owner. Unfortunately, Jim Irsay passed away about a month ago, or 3 weeks ago, I guess it would be. So really don't know what's going to happen with this franchise there. So this just adds just one more layer of uncertainty to that total.
Game 1 of the NBA Finals coming our way tonight. We're going to play it or pass it with some props for Game 1 between the Pacers and the Thunder. That'll be coming up next here on Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. It's time for one of our favorite segments, Play It or Pass It. And of course, NBA Finals starting tonight, Game 1. We're going to talk about Game 1 props. Play It or Pass It. SGA over 46.5 PRA at +105. Nick, Play It or Pass It.
Oh, man, we are coming out firing here on a big number, 46.5 for SGA. And, you know, he's averaging under this number for the playoffs. He averaged under this number in the Western Conference Finals. Still did go over, by the way, in 3 of those 5 games against Minnesota. But there is a reason that this is just barely in plus money territory. You know, it's kind of the same situation, Jeff, that we've talked about a few times with SGA. We've had this conversation with Edwards and Brunson, these high usage guys throughout the playoffs, where SGA could come out and have an excellent MVP level Game 1 and still come up short of 46.5 points plus rebounds plus assists. You know, I do think it's going to come down to those two ancillary categories, the rebounds and the assists. You know, it feels like SGA, you could just lock in for like 28 to 33 points, if not more, every single night. I do think the pace of the game will play to his advantage. You know, Indiana, for better or for worse, is going to try to continue to play their style. I think the Thunder are more than comfortable adapting that, but it's going to come down to the rebounds and the assists. I think the points will be there. At plus money, I would think about playing it. It's not a must bet for me, and I do worry a little bit, Jeff. I hate to say it. I worry a little bit about some Game 1 blowout potential tonight. So I don't know that this is a 41-minute night necessarily for SGA if the Thunder have a semi-comfortable lead in the fourth quarter. I think I would rather maybe take a look at the assists plus rebounds market. You are sacrificing a little value there, -125 to go over 12.5. I mean, the points prop is 33.5, which is just an absurd number for Game 1 in the finals. But if anybody could hit it, it would be SGA. If we were playing rate this prop, Jeff, I think I would give this a solid 3 out of 5.
Yeah, you got to get our segments straight on that. But yeah, I'm with you on that one there. And I think you make a good point too, that maybe it's not the points prop that we should go to. I will say though, it seems absurd. Seems insulting to the Pacers, but Vegas isn't in the business of losing money either, though. If it was such an absurd number, it'd be bet way the heck down. You'd be paying some serious juice on that, too. And so you're not having to do that. So I guess it's rational, I guess, is the way you have to look at it.
Oh, yeah.
Let's move on to the next one. Chet Holmgren, over 60.5 points, -115 on this one here. Play it or pass it, Nick Whalen.
I think I'll play this one. I think we'll play this one at -115. And, you know, Holmgren, I think, is pretty clearly the third banana at best on most nights for the OKC Thunder. I I like the way that he closed that Western Conference final series against Minnesota. It felt like he got better and better, more and more confident as that series went along. Now, we have no sample of Chet Holmgren playing against this Pacers team. He sat out both of the regular season matchups. One of those was a narrow win for OKC. One of them was a blowout win for OKC. I will say I would approach this with some caution because I do want to see how the playing time breaks down between Holmgren and Hartenstein. Now, in the West Finals, Chet was very clearly the guy. You know, when they were going with a one big lineup, they were favoring Chet Holmgren, but that could change. We've seen those usage patterns change with the two big men series to series. You know, Hartenstein saw under 20 minutes in the final three games of the Western Conference Finals. Maybe that continues. Maybe it doesn't. I'd like to at least see what this looks like before we officially dive in head first. But regardless, I think Chet is a matchup issue for the Indiana Pacers. I think you're asking a lot of Miles Turner to kind of chase him out to the perimeter, keep him off the glass. You know, Chet started hitting threes at a much better rate in the Minnesota series, had at least one make in all five games. He had a few games with multiple makes. So I will definitely play this, but the other thing I do worry about, Jeff, is potential foul trouble here if he is indeed guarding Pascal Siakam. And I think to me, that's the obvious matchup, at least to begin this game on paper. Chet has done a decent job staying out of foul trouble throughout the playoffs. Only has one game where he's picked up more than three fouls, but that's going to be one of the keys for the Pacers, especially if OKC succeeds in limiting Tyrese Haliburton. You're really going to have to lean on Pascal Siakam for offense. And I think getting to the line, if he can get there 7, 8, 9 times tonight, that should be a priority for Pascal Siakam. But 16.5 minus 115. Yeah, we'll play this on Chet.
Yeah, I could see that there. Noteworthy here, too, I think, is you look at the Knicks. You talked about Hartenstein's playing time. The Pacers against the Knicks really dug into, you know, they really struggled to try to hit the boards a little bit there. And that's why we saw so much Robinson in that series. And I wonder if that, you know, that it becomes a need where OKC needs a board. They might bring in Hartenstein a little bit more. That happened at the end of game four a little bit there. You remember they were subbing offense, defense quite a bit there at the end of that game. And Hartenstein was in at the at that, and it's a close game. So, but if you think that the Thunder are going to win comfortably, and most people do, then that would probably play more towards Holmgren over Hartenstein too. So that's probably the way it goes there. Let's move on to the next one. Jalen Williams, over 1.5 made threes at minus 120. Play it or pass it, Nick.
Yeah, so both of these teams do give up a decent amount of threes. You know, they're right in the middle of the pack. If you look at playoff teams this season, they both do defend the three pretty well, though. Opponents shooting about 33% from deep against both of these defenses. Now, I do think OKC will look to attack the rim first. That's where they've had the most success. They're leading the playoffs in points in the paint per game. That is somewhat of a weakness for Indiana. They gave up almost 50 points in the paint per game. OKC about 7 or 8 points per game better in that respect. So I don't see this necessarily being like a crazy high volume night for Jalen Williams. I'd be surprised if he's taken 8 or 9 threes. That's not something he does very often, but he did start to pick up some confidence in the Western Conference final. Shot over 45% from beyond the arc for that series. I know we're just talking about five games, but we don't have a huge sample to work from here. Shot 25% from three in the first two rounds. So I think that was a welcome sight for OKC. I think the hope certainly is that that carries over. You're playing at home. You have the momentum to begin this series. I think it's a low enough number and a reasonable enough price that I would play this pretty easily. Like if this was minus 140, minus 150, then yeah, maybe you're sacrificing enough value that it's not worth it. But minus 120, I think is a pretty fair price for a guy who's gone over this number in 10 of 16 playoff games.
All right, very good. We're going to play that one. All right, before we're going to talk about some Pacers props. But first, want to bet smarter this football season? Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a full year for just $199. Plus, a free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum, a no-nonsense guide to reading the market, spotting sharp action, and making smarter NFL bets. Sign up now and get instant access to a daily email with all the best bets from hosts and their guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video access on the VSiN Watch app, plus our 2025-26 NFL betting guide dropping July 1st. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Go to vsin.com/subscribe and use promo code book to sign up. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Okay, Nick, we looked at a few Thunder props. Let's look at a couple Pacer props. Mm-hmm. Pascal Siakam, over 6.5 rebounds at plus 114, plus money. Play it or pass it.
It is plus money, but is it enough? plus money, Jeff. I'm going to say no. I think this one is a pass for me. He's gone under this number now in six straight games. You know, he only went over four times in 16 playoff games so far and just won in his last 10. So, you know, we talked about OKC's ability to run Chet out there, to run Hartenstein out there. You can play them both together, of course, if you really want to keep Indiana off the glass. You know, both the guards and the wings for this team also rebounded pretty well. And Indiana has been the worst offensive rebounding team in the postseason so far. So I don't think there's going to be a ton of offensive rebound opportunities for Siakam, which, you know, if you're looking at this number, you probably need one or two of those to go over. Again, the pace is going to help here. Should be more available rebounds, more shots, of course, going up in general. But I don't love this one. I'm going to pass the over 6.5 boards for Siakam.
All right. How about your guy, Andrew Nembhard? Over 4.5 assists, minus 110. Not playing good ball right now. Was better in game six against the Knicks, but really struggled for a while. We play it or pass it at minus 110 and over 4.5 assists.
So shout out to our producer, Michael Cohen, for digging this one up. I like this one. The more I started looking at the numbers and doing my research, the more I'm talking myself into this over 4.5 assists, fair price at minus 110. So Nembhard's gone over this in 9 of 16 playoff games so far, but the bulk of those did come early in the postseason. Now, had 8 assists, of course, in the closeout game against the New York Knicks last week, but prior to that had gone under in every other game in that series. However, you look at the two regular season matchups against OKC. I know it was the regular season. I know it was months ago. 16 points, 7 assists, 23 points, 7 assists for Andrew Nembhard in those two games. I don't know if he's going to be quite on that level as a scorer. I would say probably not, but I do think the Pacers have to get creative here. I think they have to move Tyrese Haliburton off the ball. I don't think you can just walk it up or run it up with Haliburton like you have throughout these playoffs. I think we see Andrew Nembhard maybe doing more of the initiating in the half court, trying to free up Tyrese Haliburton off the ball. So I think this is a really solid play. You know, obviously we're going to need the Pacers role players to knock down some shots, but those two regular season games for Nembhard were up there with any game this season for him in terms of usage rate, in terms of assist rate. He averaged 15.5 potential assists, Jeff, in those two matchups against OKC. That is far and away, that's like triple what he normally averages. And Tyrese Haliburton had just 11.5 potential assists per game in those two matchups.
Indeed. All right, quickly, final final one, play it or pass it. Thunder to cover, minus 10 versus the Pacers.
I know, numbers up to 10. There are some 9.5s out there. I'll take it. I think the Thunder win comfortably tonight. 7 of their 12 wins, Jeff, in the playoffs have come by double digits.
I will say this, barring an injury, no matter what happens game two, the line will be even bigger. But that's my prediction. Alex Barutha joins us on the Progressive Guest Line next. This is Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Prop Points rolls along here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Nick Whalen and Jeff Erickson here with you. Going to keep talking game one of the NBA Finals. And to do that, we bring in one of our favorite weekly guests, our senior NBA editor over at rotowire.com, the great Alex Barutha. You can check him out on Twitter, at BaruthaAlex. Alex, I know you got a whole list of plays for us for game one. We'll talk about your general thoughts on this series, but want to get your thoughts first on the New York Knicks, of course, parting ways, relieving Tom Thibodeau of his duties earlier this week. What a relief that must be for Tibbs. But we don't need to dig too deep on the process here. We've talked about it the last couple of days, but I'm curious, you know, when you look at the list of names who've been mentioned as a potential candidate, you know, obviously the Knicks want to remain as competitive as possible. I think they have their eye on a potential finals berth next season. Is there a name? Is there a type of head coach that you think this team will be targeting?
Yeah, I mean, I'm seeing Johnny Bryant as the odds leader on DraftKings. And I know he interviewed for the Suns job, got denied. One article referred to him as a maestro in waiting, which I thought was kind of funny. But I think if I'm the Knicks, I mean, ultimately their goal, and they're close, is to win an NBA title with this roster. Now, whether they can do it with this roster is a fair question. But I think they should look for somebody who has championship pedigree. And that's why Michael Malone comes to mind. Why Mike Budenholzer is on the board, despite his struggles in Phoenix. And I wouldn't be surprised if they, you know, I mean, Taylor Jenkins is someone who I think would be interested. Maybe he lost a locker room in Memphis. I feel like we haven't gotten a lot of details exactly what happened in Memphis, but I think he could be a good option as well.
Absolutely. NBA finals roll on tonight. No shortage of opinions here, but let's get yours. We need to talk about this. First, the spread is now up to 10. The total's down to 230. What do you think of those two numbers?
I would love to take the Pacers if the spread was longer, but I think a lot of people are eager to bet the Pacers. I mean, I think I've talked about this on the show before, but it just feels like everybody wants to say, yeah, I think the Pacers are going to keep this competitive and be better than consensus. But I think the number kind of shows that. And so I think I'd be on OKC -9.5 here. And I kind of like the over because I think both of these teams do foul a lot. And I think Indiana needs to establish a strategy of trying to get into the bonus early so that OKC cannot play their swarming defense on Halliburton or basically everybody else. And Indiana is a low turnover team anyway. So if they can get the bonus, you know, OKC can't play their aggressive defense. I think that's a really good strategy for Indiana. And they obviously like to get up and down the court, as does OKC. So it's a relatively high total, 230, given what we've seen in the playoffs as a whole. But Indiana, New York had high totals as well. So I think I would lean over here.
All right. How about the prop market for game one, Alex? I know you got a couple plays on the Thunder side of things. You got a few plays for the Pacers. Let's start with OKC. You're looking at SGA and you're looking at Lu Dort.
Yeah, SGA over 32.5 points. This one is not too deep for me. The Pacers could not guard him during the regular season. Now, some of this was Aaron Nesmith was only available for one game. So I wonder if that might be able to slow SGA down a little bit because he hasn't seen a lot of Nesmith throughout his career. And obviously Nesmith is a fantastic defender. But just given the pace of the game overall that we're expecting, I mean, the 230 over under, the fact that SGA had massive games at least per minute because one of them was a blowout against Indiana during the regular season, I think makes me lean on the over here. And also Lu Dort, like you alluded to, over 9.5 points. Also wouldn't mind taking his 3-point prop. But he averaged 20 points per 40 minutes against this Indiana Pacers team during the regular season. I went back and watched a tape. I'm like, how is this happening? And it basically happened because the Pacers would put Pascal Siakam on him. And then Siakam would always come and help when someone would drive. And then Lu Dort would just be wide open. And sometimes he would catch a three and just launch it. Sometimes he would back cut for an easy layup. So if Indiana's going to continue to go with that game plan defensively, then I think Dort's going to have a lot of opportunities.
Let's look at a couple Pacers props. We think that the OKC is going to try to swarm Ty Halliburton. His points and assists is at 26.5. What say you on that one there?
I'm going to lean under there. It is a pretty low number, especially given the total, but he struggled against OKC during the regular season. And I know you guys were talking about in the previous segment, like Andrew Nembhard over assists. I went there first. And then I thought, I don't exactly know how the Pacers are going to handle. Like, I think Halliburton might get the ball out of his hands, but then I'm not sure what happens after that. Is it going to be Nembhard? Is it going to be Siakam? Because I think Siakam will be really important to this series offensively. Are they going to try to have Miles Turner go down low and draw some fouls? So ultimately, I just kind of settled on, I think they're going to limit Halliburton. And I'm not 100% certain who I think is going to step up beyond that.
Horse Racing's Triple Crown wraps up Saturday with the Belmont Stakes at Saratoga. Get in on the action with our friends at First Bet and play the free First Bet in VSiN Belmont Stakes Pick'em Challenge. Enter your picks for Saturday's top races to win great prizes, up to a $500 wagering voucher from First Bet. Head over to VSiN.com/Belmont to play right now. That's VSiN.com/Belmont. Alex Barutha, our lead NBA editor from rotowire.com, joins us on the Progressive guest line, talking all things game one for the NBA Finals coming our way tonight. Alex, you talked about kind of wondering where the offense is going to come for the Indiana Pacers. I am of the same mind as you. You know, I like that Andrew Nembhard prop, but it's a question of who's actually knocking down shots for Indiana. And that's part of the reason that I've been looking into maybe the under on the Pacers team total, because I think there is a shock value that comes with facing this Thunder defense. Now, you were just talking about the importance of Pascal Siakam. Do you like his points prop? Would you look at some of the other categories for him tonight?
I went to his threes prop, which is set at 1.5 right now at +130. He's been taking a lot more in the playoffs than he did in the regular season, routinely around 5-6 threes a game. And in the regular season against OKC, he was letting them fly, something like 8-9 attempts per 40 minutes. And you know, the Thunder were pretty fine. They were fine leaving him open for the most part. Like they're going to swarm Halliburton. If they're going to put two on Halliburton, someone's going to be open. And the Pacers, you know, ended up running a lot of like Siakam pick and pops, and the Thunder were not too worried about him popping. You know, the two would stay with the ball handler, whether that be Nembhard, whether that be Halliburton. And so when Siakam got that space, which he did often, he just let it fly. And, you know, again, I do think they need to go inside and establish some physicality and get OKC in foul trouble. But if they're going to leave Siakam open, it's hard not to take open shots in the NBA Finals when you're facing the OKC defense. So I think this is a fair number given what we've seen from Siakam in the NBA playoffs as a whole, what we expect in terms of pace in this game, and just what we saw from him in the regular season.
Alex, I haven't seen a single analyst predict that the Pacers are going to win this series. I don't ask you to do that, but I am going to ask you, how many games do you see this series going?
I think I have the pretty much the same answer as most other people, which I think this is a 5-game series. I could just see Indiana getting one. They're too good offensively. They're too efficient. They will just get hot one game. They push a ball in transition. One thing that does interest me, and one thing that they did really well against New York, and some of that was because of the way New York played, was, you know, Brunson would take a lot of mid-range jumpers, and then someone like Mitchell Robinson or Cat would crash the offensive glass, and then they would not get the offensive rebound, and all of a sudden Indiana's running down the court while Brunson was standing at the free throw line, and another Knicks big is like trapped under the basket, and it's a 3-on-2 or fast break or something like that. And Oklahoma City, they love their mid-range jumpers, whether it's OKC or whether it's SGA, whether it's Jalen Williams, and then they're probably going to have Hartenstein sitting down there trying to crash the offensive glass. So I do think maybe Indiana can take advantage of that in the same way they did against New York and get a game.
That's a somewhat of an abstract question, Alex. It's a little first takey, but who has the most on the line in this series? Whether it's, you know, a coach, whether it's a player on either team, like what is at stake here when we look at, you know, how we'll be looking back at this series 3 weeks from now?
That's a good question. I just think Halliburton needs to have a good series. It doesn't have to be great. He just has to not get completely shut down. I think that's really important, like for him to be established as someone where even if they're trying to take the ball away from you, you can be doing other stuff, whether it's rebounding, whether it's making the right read, whether it's changing your play style, playing off ball more, hitting threes, stepping up on the defensive end. I think that he just needs to not basically get completely shut out of the series by OKC. I think that will go a long way. And I know that's a pretty low bar, but you're talking about a guy who was 100% not expected to be here and was not expected to be the number one option on an NBA Finals team going up against this kind of defense.
Alex Barutha, everybody. You can find all of his excellent work for us over at rotowire.com. You can find him on the RotoWire YouTube channel, the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast. He's looking at SGA. He's looking at Dort, Halliburton, Siakam. You can find all of his props in our daily props article over at rotowire.com. Keep an eye out for that throughout the NBA Finals. We'll give you some baseball updates. We'll give you some best bets for the night slates coming up next here on Prop Points.
Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into Prop Points here on VSiN. Nick Whalen and Jeff Erickson closing out the show with some baseball talk. We'll give you some updates on the 3 games in action. Jeff will have his best bets for the late slate tonight. We're taking you up to the top of the hour. Make It Rain with Adam Schein coming up next. As always, that'll start up at 3 p.m. Eastern. Frank Isola joining the show today to give his preview for game 1 of the NBA Finals. So make sure you stick around here on VSiN right after our show. Jeff, we got 3 games in action. The Atlanta Braves have stretched out their lead over the Diamondbacks, now 10-4 as we head to the top of the 9th. Baldwin with a homer, Starling Marte with a homer for Arizona. Michael Harris just had an RBI single. He's been struggling, but starting to see some breakouts here for this Atlanta offense. Again, 10-4 now as we head to the top of the ninth. We're scoreless between the Tigers and the White Sox. Bottom of the second there. White Sox have one out and a runner on second base. The Kansas City Royals have jumped out to an early lead on the St. Louis Cardinals. Now 2-0 in the bottom of the fourth. Jack Caglione, who made his debut earlier this week, has his first major league hit. An RBI double to push that lead to 2-0. Noah Cameron cruising right now for the Royals. They will, of course, play again later tonight. Second game of a doubleheader after they were rained out yesterday. All right, Jeff, let's take a look at what we got on the late slate tonight. We'll start with the O's and the Mariners. Zach Eflin taking on Brian Wu. Seattle -155 favorites on the money line. 7.5 is our total. Orioles are playing better of late. It might be too little too late already, given the hole that they dug themselves. But how do we attack this game? How do we attack this O's offense?
Yeah, a very interesting setup here because, you know, I love Brian Wu at home. I love him in Safeco, even though his last time out gave up 2 home runs against the Twins at home, his worst outing of the year, still 3 runs total. So, I mean, still wasn't bad. So I like a lot of Wu props, including the strikeouts at over 5.5 Ks. It's a -115 price. Baltimore struck out 23.9% over the last 30 games. 23.3% against right-handers. Both of those are top 10 in terms of number, you know, not as a good way, as in they've struck out more within the top 10 there. I'm avoiding the line. I think it's a pretty, I would want to go money line here a little bit there, maybe break that Orioles streak, except, you know, Eflin's pitching better right now. The Mariners are kind of struggling at the plate. So I'm kind of avoiding that one there and just going with the K-prop with Brian Wu.
All right, there we have it. Brian Wu over 5.5 Ks, -115 at DraftKings. Mets and the Dodgers continue their series. David Peterson on the hill tonight, the lefty going up against Landon Knack. Dodgers -130 at home on the money line. Totals all the way up at 10, Jeff. I know we're looking at a home run prop here at plus money. What do we like?
Yeah, so I'm avoiding the side a little bit there. No Freddie Freeman in the lineup today. Tommy Edman back. No Francisco Lindor in the lineup there. So I'm kind of just seeking out homers here. And this one's tough because David Peterson's only allowed 4 homers all year, but all 3 have been on, three of them have been on the road, all of them against right-handers. Andy Páez is hitting pretty well, hit a homer last night. Homer's more at home than he does on the road. So we're going to go back to the well, and I really like the price here too. Andy Páez, anytime homer at +500. I was wrong about the total yesterday. You know, I thought that we could go high again, but Griffin Canning shut down the Dodgers. So I'm kind of avoiding that total, and it was, I'm seeing it now at 9.5 at some places too. So search around there to see what price you can get.
The Houston Astros are in Pittsburgh tonight. Astros -148 on the money line. Total 7.5. Framber Valdez going up against Mitch Keller. A little bit of a low total, Jeff. But as we know from yesterday's show, you are not averse to taking the under on a low number. Are we going there tonight?
We are indeed, Nick. One thing to watch out for with anything with the pitching props is there is rain in the forecast. 53% chance of rain, according to the apps I'm reading. Slight wind blowing out. Because of that, I'm noticing I'm having a hard time finding over-unders on record a win and outs recorded, because that's the kind of the route I wanted to go with Framber Valdez, but it's probably best to stay away from that. Pittsburgh, 27.2% K percentage versus lefties, 68 WRC plus, 271 WOBA against lefties. These are all bad. Framber Valdez is on fire. 4 of the last 5 starts he's won, including his last 4 decisions, complete game in his last start. Mitch Keller's pitching pretty well. 5 consecutive quality starts, a 290 ERA, 113 whip in that span, and Houston still struggles a little bit on the road. 283 WOBA on the road, 81 WRC plus. Both are bottom 5 numbers in the league. Still no Jordan Alvarez in this one. So I'm going to go with the under 7.5 here, -115. The possibility of rain only augurs that chance for keeping it low.
Fun game in the American League tonight, although we have a huge favorite on the money line. Guardians-Yankees. Yankees -285 on that money line. Total coming in at 8.5. Slade Ciccione taking on Max Fried. So bit of a pitching mismatch here, potentially, Jeff. I know you're looking at an anytime home run prop, and we're dialing in on Max Fried's strikeouts.
Yeah, we are indeed. And Ciccione, I mean, he was pretty decent in his first two starts, but the dinger scare me a little bit there. I was trying to find, you know, it's Dinger Thursday, right? We've been doing this. I kind of forced it last week, so I'm not doing it with every game, but certainly in this one here where Ciccione's allowed 5 in 3 games and 3 in his last one there. But man, the prices, Nick, they're tough. So many Yankees with less than 300 home run props. I think 6 of them I saw. Aaron Judge is at plus 140 for crying out loud. Really tough to try to find a good prop there, but I'm going to go Jazz Chisholm at plus 310 for anytime home run. Looking at some of the Cleveland things there, they're 275 wOBA versus lefties, 76 WRC plus, 25.1% K percentage. Excuse me. Max Fried, I'm going to go with the over on the strikeouts because of all that there. Over 5.5 Ks at minus 105.
Okay, there we go. Allergic to the under on 5.5 Ks. We like the over, minus 105.
That's right, that's right.
Yeah, let's get to the Rangers and the Rays. Jack Leiter going up against Ryan Pepiot. Big night for me in the NFBC. Jeff, we need something out of Pepiot tonight.
Uh-oh.
It is Dinger Thursday. You are heading out on vacation for a couple of weeks after this show. So we got to get some more home run props in, Jeff. Who do you like in this game?
Yeah, and here's the thing about Ryan Pepiot. He's allowed 10 homers this year. 9 of them have been at home. There is some chance of rain in this one, but the wind is also blowing out on this one too. So the other thing about Pepiot is not all those homers, you would think, okay, you think righty-lefty, but you know, he's allowed 5 homers against righties, 5 homers against lefties. You're getting better prices on Wyatt Langford than you are against their notable lefties. So let's go Wyatt Langford plus 390 to go get that home run, righty versus righty.
Okay, I like it. I like it. Wyatt Langford, add him to the list of our anytime home runs for tonight. Before we get to our G-Bank best bets, Jeff, I do want to ask you about some news that we had out in Milwaukee. Brewers hoping to get some help in that rotation. Brandon Woodruff was slated to come back maybe as early as this weekend. Took a comebacker off his elbow in a rehab start down at AAA. Diagnosed with just a bruise for now, but a big setback for Woodruff.
Yeah, it is. It is. Claimed as a contusion. But, you know, this is not the first setback Woodruff's had on this rehab assignment, too. You know, it was an ankle at one point in time. There, you know, he's missed a significant chunk of time. So I think they've taken pains to not rush him back. And this is just the latest in that.
Yeah, Brewers idle tonight after winning last night over the Reds. They will begin a 3-game weekend set at home against the San Diego Padres tomorrow night. Chad Patrick scheduled to be your game one starter. It's time for our G-Bank best bets of the night. They are brought to you, of course, by G-Bank. Introducing the $500 trifecta from G-Bank First Bet in VSiN. All you got to do is open a G-Bank Visa Signature credit card account. In the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your G-Bank Visa Signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match, and VSiN comes through to complete the trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription through October 31st. That's a $200 value. It's the $500 trifecta from G-Bank First Bet in VSiN. Head over to VSiN.com/G-Bank. That's VSIN.com/G-Bank. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply now. Terms and conditions apply. You can go check that out again over at VSiN.com/G-Bank. All right, Jeff, like we said, you're heading out to Europe very shortly in the next 24 hours here. This is your last show for a couple of weeks. Last chance for some glory here, unless you're going to be sending over best bets each day from overseas. Your G-Bank best bet for game one of the NBA Finals is?
I'm going to dig deep. We're going to go Obi Toppin, over 9.5 points at plus 105, scored 12 in the last meeting against them on December 26th. He got hurt, played only 7 minutes, had 5 points in that one there. My theory is, though, that Turner might be in foul trouble. Siakam might be in foul trouble. Yep. Toppin will be turned to a little bit more, especially if they try to take the ball out of Halliburton's hands.
Okay, I like it. I like it. I'm going to Andrew Nembhard. Talked about it earlier in the show. We'll take that over 4.5 assists. We'll lean on those numbers from the regular season. Fading Tyrese Halliburton, we are targeting Andrew Nembhard tonight. That's going to do it for the Thursday edition of Prop Points. I will be back tomorrow afternoon. Brandon Kravitz stepping in to host the show. Keep it here on VSiN. Make it rain with Adam Schein coming up next.